This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Gary, welcome to Mint, my friend. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm great, Adam. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Thank you for being on. Let's dive right in, okay? I want to talk to you about the current state of NFTs right now, okay? You've obviously been a very big proponent, very vocal on this stuff. What is the current state of NFTs?
I would say the current state is incredible innovation on how humans interact. Communities are built. Kind of the same reason sports teams work, bands work, financial interest. But I also think a ton of bad behavior where people are really incredibly navigating through greed and short-term economics. And I think that's a formula for a lot of projects to fail. And it's going to be a game of hits and misses.
Okay. But with every exciting thing, okay, there's always like the bad actors. There's always the greed. I guess what is like a more of like the optimistic outlook you think for 2022 that we're approaching?
Well, I actually think what I said is incredibly optimistic. I think to your point, the internet was insane in 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, when everybody first heard about it. And so a lot of people weren't even bad actors. They weren't scams. Their companies were just valued too much because people didn't anticipate the timing that it would take for everyone to catch on. So I think that my statement there isn't to create negativity, it's to create caution. Because I think so many people are gonna buy a $7,000 snail with a party hat. And, you know, so I view it as NFTs are like stuffed animals, but there's gonna be Beanie Babies in there. There's gonna be, you know, Cabbage Patch Kids. There's gonna be things that go up and things that go down. And I just want people to be thoughtful. That's just on the collecting and the art part. NFTs overall, when they become smart contracts for ticketing, access, leases, contracts between people, I think they're gonna be pretty powerful. And I'm really excited about the evolution over the next decade.
Love to hear it. Okay, I wanna dive into music, okay? Yeah. Season 4 of Mint, the whole theme is around music, okay? I've seen videos on you online talking with different artists in your office on how they should be thinking about their NFT music strategy and whatnot. How should musical artists be thinking about NFTs, right? And I want you to take this from the point of view of independent artists and also artists who have record deals, for example, because the current state from what we're seeing a lot of independent artists see a lot of success from crowdfunding through NFTs, through social tokens, etc. How should they be looking at it, you think?
Independents should be looking at it as a financial opportunity versus taking an upfront check from a record label if they think that they can be great at continued sustained marketing. And so, you know, the economics, 50-50 deals or 20-80 deals with a label, is that better than selling a piece of your royalties in perpetuity to your fan base is a really fun and fascinating question. And most people will today won't put in the work or build a team around them to successfully launch a $500,000, $1 million NFT launch where the artist keeps 80% of the equity and the fans get 20% of the royalties on this first project. And as pennies come in from the Spotify's and the Apples forever, it gets distributed. But there will be a couple, and somebody will be that person that comes along and is the Chance the Rapper, is the Russ, is that person that, you know, what Chance and Russ did as independents is much harder than today if both of them were 18 coming up the game and knew everything they could do on the blockchain, they would quote unquote pull it off. And the reason a lot of those artists that stayed independent then signed deals is that short-term influx of $1 million, $5 million is so hard. I mean, you know, I'm going to negotiate a new book deal right now and I could go on chain. And I
e-books.
Might. E-books. Yeah, I might. I probably will. But HarperCollins, especially because we've done 5 books together, is going to have a chance to buy me out from doing the work. But I think a lot of independent artists, 2, 4, 7 years from the filming of this, will opt to do a project that represent a piece of the action versus taking upfront check, because they'll take all that money and their manager or their homies will become the marketing engine and try to do the things that the record label does to create sustained demand. And in a world of SoundCloud, in a world of TikTok, and everything in the future that's gonna come out that looks like it, I think it's gonna be viable to the most entrepreneurial and operational music artists, not to the people that are just an artist that don't even wanna deal with it. And those people are gonna continue to sign record deals. And I think it's a game of both. It's just not like these are gonna kill the record industry. It's just gonna evolve it.
Yeah. So you just mentioned a bunch of stuff that actually I have follow-on questions to, okay? But for starters, what do you think the relationship between like record labels and music artists looks like now with the introduction of NFTs, all these tokenized assets and whatnot? And I only ask you this because back in season 3, I had this guest on. Her name is Latasha, super talented artist, has an amazing story. We basically had this hot take where music labels are going to become like creative hedge funds, meaning a lot of these artists are going to start tokenizing themselves. They're going to have different forms of assets on chain, from social tokens to NFTs to music NFTs to fandom to all these different things, and that these hedge funds might actually evolve into hedge funds, right? I mean, not these hedge funds, the record labels will evolve into hedge funds, right? Do you see that kind of coming to fruition? Do you have a different take on that? I mean, what do you think?
I feel like they're kind of that now, but the collateral is the music royalties. And this is just becoming another version of another tool in that toolbox. So, I mean, I would argue that that's what they are today. They're a bank making bets. And 8 out of 10 artists, 9 out of 10, 99 out of 100, you know, the music people who are listening know this better than I do, could be 999 out of 1,000 really don't hit. And if you get Adele or Eminem, he probably pays for it all. And by the way, no different than hedge funds and venture capital firms. And so, yeah, I think that's happening now.
Okay, you got it. So you don't
think the bigger question is, an NFT project can now generate $1 million or $2 million in an hour if you do it well.
Yeah.
Will that lead to the fans getting the royalties versus a record label? It, because of the technology of the blockchain, is the most interesting conversation in music.
So walk me through that more.
So that's for those who don't understand, right? Like if if you're Nirvana and you haven't signed a deal yet, and it's 1990 and you're on the come up, 88, 89, Nirvana fans will know this better. I'm just guessing the time range. Instead of signing a deal, you put out an NFT project, because now it's 2025 and everybody knows how this all works. And you put out a bunch of tokens with different art, maybe your album cover with different variations. And you say that, you know, this token represents a sliver of the royalties. We have, you know, we have 1,000 units and, you know, it's gonna add up to 20% of our royalties. So 0.02, 0.2, whatever the math is there, 0.02. And that's it. And fans can now buy 5, 6, 7. And then as the economics come from the distribution partners of today, you're, as a fan, getting royalties on the music. I mean, musicians that really hit make a lot of money on royalties in whatever deal, or good or bad or indifferent deal they have. And that is very good for the artist, because an artist on a good day will get 50% of the deal with the record label, sometimes 20%. They also have to pay back the label for every expense. So when the album, when the record gets promoted and they spend $100,000 on a billboard, that's really the artist is paying that, right? Because they have to pay that back before it's profitable. I think if you have 10,000 fans who have financial interest in you being successful, we've already seen fans of music forever want to pump their up and coming artist until they hit big, and then they get mad.
Because they've gone mainstream.
Now, sorry about that. I was getting up and getting you some better
You're getting too excited, man. Too excited.
Now, instead of getting mad when Dave Matthews or Nirvana or whoever, Lady Gaga, exploded, now you're gonna have people that are thrilled because they're gonna make money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, could you imagine, like, this is gonna change the relationship graph between artists and fans. Fans who now were really good at picking up and coming artists, almost like A&R.
Yeah.
They're gonna now be able to potentially over the next decade as this gets matured, be part of the action. Imagine you're living, I know a bunch of people who are passionate about music are gonna hear this and be like, oh shit, this is exciting. Imagine what you do for a living is try to find up and coming artists and buy their NFTs to get a piece of the royalties, and that you're good enough at it that the Billie Eilish or the Weeknd or the, you know, Roddy Ricch or whoever you find hits enough that your little sliver, because you bought 7 tokens, is strong enough to make it a go.
So that's the thing. So we're already seeing like friends aping together, creating these multi-signature wallets, contributing ETH, buying assets of artists that they love and adore that are up and coming on platforms like Catalog, on Sound, on Mint Songs, on Bolero, etc. Are you buying any yourself? Have you bought any music NFTs?
I have not.
You have any interest to in the future? Do you see yourself?
Oh, in a substantial way.
What are you looking for? Like, what would you look for?
Well, listen, I have a huge secret weapon. I have Mike Boyd. I have unlimited videos on the internet of me sitting down with artists that we thought were going to be hitting and successful. And whether that's Gunna or whoever it might be, like Tierra Whack or, you know, Lil Keed, like T Grizzly. Like, these are people that I would love to buy. There, you know, Saweetie was in my office doing a podcast when she just got out of doing car rap videos. You know, if I go and buy 35 of her NFT projects, which represented 0.35% of her royalties, I believed in her. I believed in her swag, her hustle, her creativity. I would have done really well.
Yeah. Makes sense. I wanna talk more about these independent artists, because a lot of them are getting much favorability from the Ethereum community. How do you go by building a well-oiled machine? Like, how can you build a system where the creative, the artist, can focus on creating what they do best, and I guess not spend too much time on the day-to-day labor of community building? And that could be actually taken in a different way, right? So should the two even be treated separately, right? Because we're seeing a lot of creatives, like, they get the creating part, they understand the producing of music, they get all that stuff. And then when it comes to opening the Discord, when it comes to opening the Telegram, when it comes to creating consistent content, keeping the narrative alive with their collectors, how do you actually go by doing that? I feel like it's one of the biggest challenges plaguing a lot of these artists from jumping deeper into Web3.
They give 3% of the action to the Adam or Gary in their life. These artists have given up 10, 20, 30, 80% of their economics for the last 100 years. They're gonna build new partnerships. There's gonna be new, the modern day Scooter Braun's, Guy Oseri's, Chris, like these people that came at Coach K, these, they're gonna evolve these managers into different business kind of partners. Mm. I mean, I could take 3 of my good people right now and start a record label that do all of what you just said better than anybody on earth and dominate.
I'm down.
So I think that's what's going to happen, Adam. I think the role of the manager, the role of the record label, the role of the agent, promoter, it's going to get convoluted into some new transformed version where the guys and girls that we look up to that have crushed management and representation and distribution will now have to tweak into a new form where they're, you know, listen, the best manager or record label in 1967 went into radio stations and strong-armed the guys and girls to play your record. Then it was who could get you on TRL. Then it was like, who understands Spotify algorithm? Like, it's always evolving who brings the most value.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of see the relationship, and this goes back to my other question about like the role between record labels and artists, right? As more and more artists, they tokenize themselves on chain, these record labels will be buying these assets rather than owning the person, right? They'll be co-owning pieces of their work, and their role will kind of shift to community managers, right? Of managing all these collectors and being in the Discords, being in the Telegrams, being in these communities, setting up IRL events and URL events and whatnot, and seeing that kind of model like evolve as this demand for fan to artist relationship kind of grows, right? So I kind of see that taking shape. And I echo that you kind of feel the same way. I want to jump into social token.
Go ahead, just for a quick second.
Yeah.
Community management is the slang term you've decided to use for it. I would just call it a modern contemporary marketing executive, right? Because it's, whether it's Discord or making original content on TikTok or knowing how to run Spotify ads in their self-serve, like I do, you know, back to what I do for a living and what VaynerMedia does for a living, it is a lot more nuanced and has 6 to 17 things. I think a lot of people think it's a spoon and I think it's a Swiss Army knife. It's not just TikTok or Discord community management, content for TikTok versus Instagram versus YouTube shorts. It's also running ads to amplify under underpriced ARB. It's also audio, it's copy, it's influencer marketing arbitrage. It's community replying in Twitter. It's meme creation. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an entire new beast. And I'm excited to kind of see it unfold even more over the next few years.
I agree. There was beasts, she and he, in 1967 that were just as good at radio and television and doing a print ad and doing an outdoor ad. And that was a 360 marketer in 1967. You were a unicorn if you could do that, right? What I just said, and I'm sure there were plenty of people here on Madison Avenue that could. I think one of the things that has been the telltale of my career is that I can do them all. I can have a podcast. I can win on TikTok. I can have a website, an email letter, a text messaging platform, an NFT project, a Discord, right? And I think for the artists that are gonna say, I'm not gonna work with a label, they're gonna need somebody that's at least good at 2 out of 7 of those things, 3 out of 7, 4 out of 7. Otherwise, they're gonna be better off taking the upfront bag from the label.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. What's up, guys? Adam Levy here. I wanted to take a quick pause to give some love to CoinVise, our NFT sponsor who's making this episode a reality. On CoinVise, you can create a personal or community-owned social token on Ethereum. CoinVise also helps you create incentives through token rewards and bounties, NFT business models, and bot integrations for Discord. Discover more by visiting coinvise.co today. All right, back to the episode. I want to pivot into social tokens and creator coins, something that was the impetus of starting Mint from the get-go about 5-6 months ago. I wanted to ask you, why don't you think creator coins have had their spotlight yet, like NFTs, right? Like in 2020, we saw excitement around platforms like BitCloud creating human stock markets. We saw platforms like CoinVise pump out thousands of social token projects and community coins in 2021.
I don't think they feel as good. I mean, I went down the rabbit hole in 17 or 18.
Right.
And really thought about VCoin and this and that. And it just feels too much like a financial transaction where an NFT has a different element of collectability, community. It just feels different. I'll give you a good example. Sure. Why do people take photos with Rolexes and Birkin bags on a yacht, in a private plane, driving a Lambo, but don't ever post their bank account?
Why? Do you know how many DMs I get of like random people shilling their stock market portfolio? Like they shill their Rolex. Listen,
but I think you'll agree with me that DM, sure. Of course there's people holding cash.
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, you're actually right. I agree. I think they do it more on DM. We see it far less in the main social post because there's a level of douchery that you cannot avoid if you're gonna go directly to, I got 7 million in my bank account. But I have this apartment in Malibu on the border, different. It alludes to it. It's one thing to say I have $480,000. It's another thing to say I have a Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Yeah.
And so I think the reason you've seen NFTs go, and this was my thesis, is because they're more how humans actually act. Currencies are very, very one-dimensional and hard to build back up when dead. NFTs are gonna be like brands. An NFT project can have a big 2011. Let's pick one I like a lot. Cool Cats, great kids, I hope they dominate. Hope it becomes fucking Disney. But let's say it doesn't. It's had a great year. So, you know what that means, Adam? It means if that project doesn't win over the next decade, in 11 years, I can buy that brand, buy up a bunch of the tokens, and refurbish it the way that Champion went from a fucking private label bullshit sweatpants brand for a 50-year-old to the hottest streetwear brand for 2 years.
Right.
The way that Lacoste was hot in the 80s, dead in the 90s and 2000s, and had a moment again. The way that Reebok now under the Salters may get rebooted. Like, we've seen brands go from hot starter jackets up, down, right? That's what an NFT can do that a social token will have a much harder time doing.
So then what's the incentive of, let's say, someone like Bored Ape Yacht Club, okay, issuing the apes as like membership passes into the club and then sharing this grandiose roadmap of a governance token coming into play? Why do you think that's critical? Do you think it's a mistake? How do you feel about that?
I don't know, because I haven't really allowed myself yet to be thoughtful enough of tokenization to give you a great answer right now.
I think is the beauty of the space too, right? We're seeing this stuff unfold in real time. Yeah.
And also I do well when I observe and then communicate quickly. Mm. Because then I have conviction and I don't want to be on your show, have people watch, and then whatever I say right now, if I guess, be wrong, that hurts me. I'm very proud of I want everybody to watch every video receipt of me for the last 15 years. I think that's my strength instead of a weakness. I don't have a good sense yet as an entrepreneur and a businessman of what governance tokens, how they play out. I see the Axie stuff. I see it. Yeah. It's all coming. Yeah. It's all coming. It's something that I know for sure I will have a moment probably this year, since it's mid, late, maybe early 23, that I'll probably have to ask my question of, am I going to do anything like that with BeFriends? Because BeFriends is forever for me.
Right.
But I prefer to see, like, I'm excited that Bored Ape Yacht Club is doing that. I think I heard Cool Cats might do it too. Like, I'm not sure who's doing it, but I'm going to be watching all of them to learn and react. My belief is that it's not super hard to make the tokens have one set of governance and to have the NFT do a different. Mm-hmm. But I do think that projects have to be very thoughtful to make sure that the only reason they're not, they have to make big, big, honest conversations with themselves around, are we issuing this strictly because it's good for us financially, or do we think this is going to work out long term?
Yeah, makes sense. Let's talk about DAOs for a minute, okay? You've always wanted to buy the Jets. You always talk about it. It's your lifelong goal. So what do you say? Let's form a DAO to buy the Jets. All V-Friend holders will be whitelisted. Yep. Okay. It'll be a community owned, the first community owned NFL team, right? It'll be the destination for crypto and football lovers. What do you think? Let's do it.
I think it will happen. I mean, I've already done it with a soccer team, and I wrote a small check because I want to watch it and I want to learn.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's really interesting with me is that I've been clearing this up for the last 6 years because I want people to really know, because it might help them. My passion is trying to buy the Jets more than actually buying them. Mm. And so it's run through my mind. I'll keep watching the space. I also know that it'd be highly unlikely that the NFL owners would want that to be the case, is my intuition. I could be wrong, but my great love affair is the process much more than the destination.
Got it.
My goal is to try to buy the Jets more than to buy the Jets. And I'm still young. I'm 46 years old. I want to keep building blocks. And so I'm not in a quote unquote rush. And I still have a lot of value I need to bring to the world if I was to then go any kind of route that looked like that. And so it's not on my radar.
Well, when it does come on your radar, I hope you decide to form a DAO and include all of us to buy it collectively.
You know this, and you know, you're educated. I think it's really fun to watch the DAOs. The DAOs, there's a lot of things on Earth that are amazing ideologies and then go against the human spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm. Right? So one thing that I'm excited to see how DAOs play out is, like, it's great to think about these things, but like, we've seen a ton of DAOs really struggle with human behavior. So there's gonna be continued innovation. And I think the DAOs of 2025 are gonna be a hell of a lot more thoughtful and sharper than the DAOs of 2021.
Yeah, I think the current state of DAOs is a lot of people wanna create DAOs, but a lot of people like don't wanna contribute to them as much, right? I think a lot of people wanna create governance processes, but a lot of people don't wanna contribute to those governance processes.
A lot of people don't even vote.
You end up seeing that the largest shareholders, like the funds, end up controlling the direction of the protocol, and you see them voting publicly on Snapshot or their own governance forums and whatnot. So I think in theory, I think, yes, there's a lot of opportunity. I've started DAOs. I've contributed to DAOs. I love the concept of DAOs. I love seeing artists issue assets of themselves, like music artists, whether it be in the form of an NFT, a social token, whatever it may be, and then all these collectors coming together, collectively building this artist. So I think there's different use cases that come into play that make it notable and worth exploring. I think, like you said, these ideologies can kind of like stifle people and blur vision. All right, let's talk about minimum viable communities. Okay. This is something that I introduced on the podcast back in October 2021. Okay.
I like that.
And this concept of an MVC, how do you think about the differences and the similarities between building an MVP and an MVC? What comes to mind?
What comes to mind is they work because you're crawling before you run. Like, I'm sitting with kids that have never built anything in their life, and their opening line is like, "Gary, I'm building Hello Kitty." I'm like, "Brother, you haven't even launched anything in your life. You have never run anything." And I'm all about it. I'm like, "Sister, you got this. I'm cheering for you. I'll help you. Who can I help you with?" But like, I love MV whatever, because it creates a framework for people to be more thoughtful, patient. There are so many people doing everything right now for a cash grab, short term. I'm so excited how this is gonna play out for me, because I know I'm doing this for the rest of my life. And I think 99.9999999% of the people are not. And for me, that gives me great comfort, because I think historically that will play out well for me. I'm concerned about the people that buy these NFTs, because I think so many will fail for the reason that we're talking about, but I love it. Get 200, it's how I started my career. Do you know how many people, in the first 3 years of Wine Library TV, there were 700 people that adored me. 3 years. By the way, then I had to restart, because I decided I wanted to do content about my actual life, not just my wine.
Sure.
Right, so I almost had to restart, because all my wine people were like, "Don't, what are you doing? You don't do business, you do wine." I'm like, "No, I've been doing business the whole time."
But that's the thing. How do you find those 700 people? Like, the minimum viable
community. They find you. It's all content. Okay. You don't find them. They find you through content. You wanna, it's very easy right now for NFT projects. Go put out thoughtful content on Twitter, put hashtag NFT, link to your Discord in your profile, and let people come 1, 2, 17 or 190 at a time based on the quality of the content you put out.
So sell a vision first versus...
The number one issue, and this is why I push it like a fucker. Everybody is so uncomfortably impatient to build something meaningful that all the comments, all the questions, all the strategies are grounded in instant success, which is why they'll all fail. From 2007 to 2011, I spent more than 5 hours a day on Twitter replying to people about wine questions every day. Yeah. It's documented. I'll pull up my, if I pull up my Twitter right now, right? Let me just pull it up. I have, how do you find this? Where did they put these now?
You looking for share screen?
I'm not looking for share screen. I'm looking for how many tweets I've put out. Where do they put that?
Oh, I feel like it should be at the top of your profile. Like,
I thought so too, but I don't see.
Before I even say, I'm guessing like a million, 2 million, something like that.
I don't think it's that high. How many tweets?
Because like as you're finding that, okay, so those first 700 people, okay, when a creator, when an independent artist, when someone entering the space, okay, tries to build that initial pulse around their vision, around their ideologies, your take is to push out content, add these hashtags, and like tap into these like discovery mechanisms that allow you to kind of find these people that resonate with what you're trying to do. Is that how you're approaching it, right? So like, let's say for like independent artists, okay, they want to issue music NFTs. They want to find collectors. How do they build like an MVC? How do they actually go by doing that?
They spend 6 months learning about NFTs and live on Discord and Twitter, or again, like I said earlier, have their homie right hand manager 2.0 do it, because there is no other way to do it.
Yeah.
Because the NFT community that knows how to buy an NFT today is too small, too tech savvy, too different, and they have incredible cynicism to anybody who's not native.
Yeah.
They don't like famous people or people. They can smell, right? They can smell
it. They can smell the bullshit. Yeah.
And so every authentic small community can always smell bullshit. And right now NFT buyers are too small.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay, let's because I know we're running out of time. Okay, let's wrap this up with a couple more questions. Okay, really quick, biggest trends you've observed in 2021 that you see will set the tone for 2022. Fire it off.
I'm sorry to say this, but it's important to me.
Okay.
Greed is taking over.
Okay.
Something that in the macro is revolutionary.
Okay.
NFTs are here to stay for the rest of our lives. But 99% of the projects that are out right now will not be good investments.
Okay.
It's next. A huge trend. I it's important for everybody listening. Here, but I got everybody here to flip side.
Yeah.
When internet stocks crashed in 2000, Amazon and eBay were sitting there for dollars. And if you put in 1,000, it would have changed your life forever.
I think that's a mic drop. So look for the dollars.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Like follow the quality.
Whether it's Bored Ape, whether it's Be Friends, whether it's Creatures, World of Women, Doodles, Bored Ape Yacht Club, Alien Friends, whatever. Yeah. 7 to 12 of these are going to hit. In the 80s, all these after school television shows, cartoons, He-Man, Rainbow Bright, Care Bears, right? Transformers, a lot of them hit. Many more never made it on the air, and many more made it on the air and didn't hit. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, final series real quick, okay? I want to introduce something first time on Mint, okay? Called Bullish or Bearish, all right? I'm going to fire some things at you. So, and you're going to tell me whether you're bullish or bearish on them, okay? Social tokens, bullish or bearish?
I want you, social as in like around people?
Like the currencies, like creator coins, community coins, etc.
Neutral,
okay.
I'll tell you why. In theory, I like it. Most of the behavior around it right now, short-term cash grab.
Okay. Music NFTs, bullish or bearish?
Bullish.
Punks flipping apes, bullish back? Or bearish? Yeah, back.
In perpetuity?
Yeah.
Sure. Bullish.
Bullish. Were you surprised when that happened, when apes flipped punks?
No, the moment, I mean, BAYC has got so much momentum. Kudos to that team, Guy Oseri, the original founders. Like,
yeah.
It's sometimes runaway trains are runaway trains. Their challenge, like for anything that gets that ultra hot, is Nike just steams along and you have moments of, you know, the Kiths, the Supremes, that right? And so like what their challenge will be is sustaining the ultraness in those very hot things. And by the way, I'm cheering for them. I hope they do it. It's fucking hard. It's like any supernova, right? Like a superstar that Lady Gaga is a legend, but like it's not what it was when she was on television every second coming out of it, right? It's like those moments. That's hard. And I think they've got the talent to do it. I mean, you look at Guy Oseri, he's managed Madonna, one of the few people that has been able to consistently do it. So like it'll be really fun to watch, but it's gonna be hard.
All right, V Friends flipping apes and punks. Bullish or bearish? Bullish.
I think I'm going to build the number one project in the space if you give me the rest of my life. But much like trying to buy the Jets, I just want to try to do that.
Yeah.
Like 78-year-old me seeing the Larva guys or seeing the Bored Ape and them being 5-10x to me, I go up there with handshake and like real love, like, man, you guys really, like, I'm really proud of what I did, but you got, like, I love giving roses to people that outperform me in my business. When I met the Sam's Wine Club people, Sam's in Chicago, big wine store. When I met Bob Hoffman, may rest in peace, when they were a much bigger store than Wine Library and doing it better, I couldn't wait to run up to him at the Wine Spectator and be like, you guys are doing, like, even though every day of my life I'm trying to do it better, I love when people outperform me because it's based on merit. But do I believe that V Friends will be number one? I do, because I think I'm more Walt Disney and Vince McMahon, and I've talked about those two, and I think I'm that, and I'm going to do it.
Amazing. All right, last two. DAOs, bullish or bearish?
Very bullish.
Very bullish. Okay. The U.S. operating like a version of a DAO where every citizen's vote is captured on-chain during political elections. Bullish or bearish?
Bearish.
Bearish. Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think there's going to be too much defense in Washington for that.
All right, Gary, this was fun, man. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks. I hope to have you on again soon.
Happy holidays.